good afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hey, do you like the weather outside? You know, the weather would like you too if you got out in it. Yeah, you ride down the road, even if you got to be in your car, put the windows down, open the windows in the house. It's springtime in South Carolina. Got to get out there and enjoy this. It doesn't last very long, people. I'm warning you. Just like the weather made a liar out of me last week or two when I said we weren't having more 40s and 30s and it got to 35 or 36, spring's not going to last long, okay? You might as well get out and enjoy it because pretty soon it's going to be hot and humid. So that means, you know, make it a little time to get outside. Today's show, we're not going to be in the woods very long. We're not going to be on the water very long. We're going to be up in the air because Wings Over Myrtle Beach is coming to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the 28th, 29th of this month. Navy Blue Angels, Viper Demo from Shaw Air Force Base. And you're going to hear from John, who is the head of the air show organization putting it on. We're going to talk to the Sky Typers, and Aaron Carl with USS OCOM Paracommandos. Going to be a great show. Just a little something different. You know, I'm a runway junkie, air show kid. So forgive me, every once in a while I'll go off the rails and we'll take this show, you know, in uncharted waters. But there again, it's just a good thing here in South Carolina. And it's a patriotic thing. You know, as you listen to some of these people talk about their experiences and what they do for a living, and it's got to be rewarding. And for them to put on, to come to South Carolina and put on a show like this, it's going to be pretty cool. You can find out more at Wings Over Myrtle Beach, all the information on the performers, how to go and camp, how to go and stay, where to park, airplane rides, kids events, stuff like that. Great weekend. So hope you put that on calendar and try to get there. Next week, I think we're going to talk to someone at Joint Base Charleston because the same day on the 28th, they're going to have an Air and Space Expo at Joint Base Charleston. Don't know about the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds yet. If you haven't read the news, the number four pilot, slot pilot, was out flying over the desert. Something happened. He crashed. He was killed. Sadly, accidents happen even with, you know, highly trained military pilots. So I know they canceled two shows, the March Air Force Base show and then, Sun and Fun, which is going on this week and weekend and in Lakeland, Florida. So don't know the status of the Thunderbirds being at there at Space Expo in Charleston. They're going to make that decision later. Hopefully next weekend we'll know. And but we'll talk to them about some of the stuff that's going on down there. And then we got a third one coming up. We got an Anderson Air Show coming up in May that's going to be – so, look, make plans to go and do some of this stuff as a family. It's just good family fun. Let's do a few things on the calendar. Always visit Anderson and Green Pine Landing, an event center sponsored after a tremendous Bassmaster Classic. Just have to go back. Oh, there's a time-lapse video out there of the landing on Sunday morning, and you see the flyover. It's like, whoop, there goes some smoke. Whoop, there it goes. Whoop, there it goes. Whoop, there again. So it's time-lapse really quick, and you have to watch it a couple times to make sure you see it. But, yeah, there I am. The Local Hiker, great place over in Spartanburg, South Carolina, a few campers and hikers, April 19th at 6 p.m., one of their class schedules, they're going to have a backpacking basics class where they're going to discuss the 10 essentials of how to pack a backpack and other basic hiking and backpacking information. It's a great opportunity for those new to the outdoors or those needing a refresher. They're also on April 21st having a meetup hike, Pisgah National Park, the John Rock Trail Loop, 9 o'clock in the morning. You can come by the store or call them at the Local Hiker to get more information. They've got some more stuff we'll cover later on in the coming weeks. April the 28th, Pisgah Trout Unlimited is offering a 2018 fly fishing school. I know this is North Carolina, but forgive me. I love fly fishing. Saturday, April 28th from 8:30 to 5, Harmon Field in Tryon, North Carolina, just up over the border. Pisgah Trout Unlimited will hold its annual fly fishing school. School is offered to beginning anglers and to those who'd like to learn more about the basics of the sport of fly fishing. Attendees will receive a full day of instruction and a wide range of essential knowledge and skills, including equipment, selection, line systems, casting and line management, fly selection, stream tactics, stream etiquette, ethics, and safety. Sounds like a good time. Go to Pisgah Trout Unlimited for more information on that event if you're interested in fly fishing. and the 2018 Low Country Fly Fishing Expo, April 21st at Old Field in Okotie, South Carolina. It's join us for a day of presentations, seminars, demonstrations, opportunities for crew for one-on-one casting instruction that will feature some of the Low Country and Southeast premier fly fishing instructors, guides, and professionals, as well as special guest Bob Clouser, who's been on this show. Bob's a great guy. For more information and tickets, lowcountryflyfishingexpo.com. And if you want more fishing, as if you haven't had enough and it's springtime and you want to get there and fish, the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources has got their schedule for the fishing rodeos up. They start next Saturday in Dorchester County, Abbeville County, the 28th of April. They're in Kershaw County, Jasper County, Charleston County, Lexington County, Georgetown, and that's just a few of them. So you can go to the Department of Natural Resources website, look for fishing radios, take a kid fishing. Even if it's not yours, take a kid fishing. Hang on. Great show. Back soon. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Almost sounds like lead-in music for an air show act. Good music. Good music this morning. We're not on the water. We're not in the woods. We're actually spending a day's show up in the air because Wings Over Myrtle Beach is coming to South Carolina April the 28th, 29th. And I'm honored to have Steve Kapoor from the Geico Skytypers on the phone with me. Steve, thanks for taking a few minutes to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Take just a moment. I've done a lot of research about you guys and all that, but take just a moment. Tell us who you are, and then let's talk about the team, the Skytypers themselves.
Okay. Well, you know, we are an air show team. We're presented by Geico Insurance, which we have a lot of fun with.
Yep.
We fly about an 18-minute air show performance. We also do something unique. Called Skytyping, which is an aerial messaging format that we have. We use puffs of smoke to spell out messages in the sky that can be, you know, that can be 1,000 feet tall, and they can be, they can be seen for miles around when we do them. We perform that. We do this at about 8,000 to 10,000 feet in the air, so they're very visible even in the distance.
Sure.
But we're going to be coming to the air show there in Myrtle Beach, and we're going to be performing our 18-minute air show demo right down on the deck, and you guys are going to get to see a new routine.
Ah.
We literally were just in Florida. Our winter base is Lakeland, Florida.
Okay.
We were literally just down there. We've completed our ground school and have worked up the routine in the air, flying rehearsals, and we're ready to start presenting it to the public.
Cool. Boy, Lakeland, that's a busy place this week.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And we fly that show every other year.
Okay.
This year we're actually going to be flying at Oshkosh.
Ah, that's right. I did see that on your schedule.
We're enthusiastic about coming to Myrtle Beach. It's been a long time coming, and we're excited to fly this show.
Yeah, we're excited to have you to South Carolina, that's for sure. The rest of the team, I mean, how many pilots are flying at any given time, and what's the whole team makeup? Because there's a lot of support guys that go along with the planes in the air.
Yeah, well, of course, we're led by our commanding officer and flight lead, Larry Arkin. He and his dad started this whole thing years ago. And, you know, he's a terrific boss for the team. We enjoy flying with him. He's a airline captain for a major airline and has just umpty-ump years of experience flying everything from DC-8s to 737s and then, you know, just a laundry list of World War II vintage fighters. He's flown the P-47, he flies the Corsair, the P-51. So he is about as talented a lead as we could hope for.
Gotcha.
You have a fellow by the name of Chris Thomas, who is relatively new with the team. Most of our guys have been together for a number of years, which is I think one of the things that contributes to safety for our team, you know, because we know each other.
Sure.
Chris has been, this is his second season flying, one of the, one of the six, seats. And Chris Thomas is a wing pilot. He also is a, not just a captain, but he's a Czech airman for a major airline. Is, studied aerobatics, has, just a ton of time, 17,000 hours, as well. Our other wing pilot and our executive officer is a guy named Ken Johansson. Ragnar is a graduate of the trade school, up there in Annapolis. He has also been a squadron commander. He flew P-3s in the Navy. He was actually on an exchange program with the Royal Netherlands Navy.
Okay.
He's currently a captain for a major airline as well. Our number four pilot, our slot pilot, is a guy named Chris Orr. He flies, also captain for a major airline.
I see
and,
a pattern here.
Soto, Soto, was an F-14 driver. He flew, he flew 35 combat missions in Iraq.
Wow.
He's got several hundred, carrier landings, and, two top hook awards. I mean, he's a hell of a skilled aviator. He also flew the C-130 in special ops for the New York National Guard.
Okay.
Our number five, our lead solo, is a guy by the name of Tom Daly. Tom is an interesting guy. Like myself, he comes from the civilian world.
Okay.
Tom actually was a police rescue pilot, flew helicopters, for the police department. Was a first responder with at 9/11. Was the dean of aviation at Dowling College, and just an all around great guy.
Sure.
Steve Salmers is the other lead, and Steve is actually the individual that choreographed the whole routine that you guys are going to see for the first time in the coming weeks. He flew F-16s in the Air Force. Was an instructor pilot. Probably one of the best instructors I've ever flown with. I really enjoy, flying with Steve when I get the chance. Our opposing solo is a guy named Kevin Sinibaldi, call sign Sinbad. Also a Navy pilot, flew A-6. A-6s for the Navy, operationally deployed aboard Coral Sea and Roosevelt. Has a lot of great experience and, brings that all to the team. You'll see Jim Record, working, the ground show. Jim is, critiques us, videos us. He's also an accomplished, Skytyper pilot. He may even be ferrying one of the aircraft in, next week. Jim will be on the announcer stand and around, meeting with the media. So you may even get to meet him.
Yes, sir. I will.
There.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's myself. I'm backseater for the boss. I fly in the backseat of number one.
Okay.
My responsibility during the show is safety.
All right.
I'm watching for things that don't look right, whether it's our own altitude or position or airspeeds, or intruders into our airspace during the show. I fly cross countries with the team and in Larry's autopilot many times. So That's kind of the team that you're going to meet.
Cool.
coming down there to spend time with the folks.
Let's talk about the airplanes you fly. The SNJ-2 has been around for almost 80 years now.
Yeah, the aircraft was built. Our aircraft were built in 1940. So they're older than all the guys that are flying them right now. They were built as advanced trainers for the Second World War.
Right.
And they have a wingspan of about 42, 43 feet. They're about 28 feet long, almost 29 feet long. They weigh about 5,000 pounds empty. They've got a rather, large, they're not real slick, so they've got a rather large airplane on. They've got a Pratt & Whitney R-1340, which generates about 550 horsepower. Our top speeds are about 213 miles an hour at 6,000 feet. So,
okay.
Not really you know, fighter speeds, but fighter performance. They do all the same things that the fighters of the era do. They just do it slower, which is why they're good for training, you know.
And good for air show type stuff, too, because they're present over the show line a lot longer.
Yeah, and you know, for people that don't like the loud thunder of the jets, you know, these also give a nice grumbly sound from the from those round engines, but won't bother people that are sensitive to the noise. So we have a lot of fun with them. Obviously, we don't have the thrust that the F/A-18s at the Blue Angels or the F/16s at the Thunderbirds fly.
Sure.
So you won't see any vertical maneuvers. A lot of vertical in our act. Our specialty is just tight formation work and symmetry. So hopefully people will enjoy that.
Well, part of what makes your act so fun to watch is a smoke system. I mean, you're trailing smoke, and a lot of people go, "Oh, look, he's on fire!" No, he's not on fire. That's on purpose. take just a minute and talk about a smoke system on your plane.
Yeah, we have our planes, because we do the sky typing I mentioned earlier.
Right.
Our aircraft are outfitted with larger smoke oil tanks. The small tanks are 30 gallons. The large tanks are 50 gallons. Basically, EPA friendly smoke oil, runs through an injector nozzle in the exhaust manifold, so that when we're at altitude, cold air, and the engines are hot.
Okay.
Basically what happens is the mixture is vaporized, when it's injected into the exhaust manifold, and then condenses and basically creates a cloud, if you will, outside the aircraft in the cold air.
Okay.
So that's when we're doing our sky typing, that's, kind of how it works. The system can be triggered one of two ways. One, with a manual button on the control stick, like a lot of performers have.
Okay.
But we also have a very unique computer, which is how we accomplish the sky typing. We have just basically a tablet computer. I mean, it started out as this big clunky machine, and over the years it's been refined, and now we have we have proprietary custom software that drives from this tablet
okay.
That commands the smoke systems in each of the aircraft in the formation.
Wow.
So as we fly across the sky, we fly a line abreast formation, which is wingtip to wingtip, separated by about two or three wingspans, and then the smoke system, we engage the automatic smoke radios, and the smoke system is commanded by this tablet. And the art of it for us is holding position, and then the computer and the smoke systems put out the puffs as the tablet commands them to do. So we become like the printing head on an old dot matrix printer as we go across the sky,
There's an analogy not many people will remember.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because the PR people are telling me, you got to stop using that analogy because, there's a whole group of people that don't understand what it means. I think they get it.
They can go to Wikipedia and look it up.
Yeah, there you go. But the idea is that we create these letters that are spelled out with dots, in a matrix.
Sure.
And the letters, as I said earlier, can be, 1,000 feet tall. And, as big and as tall as the Empire State Building. And they can be 6 or 8 miles long, depending on how many characters are in the message,
Wow.
And you can see them, no joke, see them from 15 miles away when we're up at altitude on a nice day with a blue sky. So it's a terrific advertising vehicle. That's how we first got involved with Geico. Geico has always been an innovator in terms of how they market their products, how they advertise, their insurance services. And we were already working with Geico on the advertising side when we lost our prior sponsor, and we talked to Geico about coming aboard as a air show sponsor, and they tried it out at first, and then they realized just what a great venue air shows are for reaching people.
Mm-hmm.
There's thousands and thousands of people that come to these shows on any given weekend, it's a great marketing vehicle for Geico. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have a lot of fun with it, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And we get to meet some terrific people over time. We've had the opportunity, you know, it's always fun, of course, to meet young people. We've also had the honor of meeting men who trained in these aircraft for the Second World War. And swapping lines with them about flying, which is always, what pilots do when they get together.
Sure.
And we had, you know, we've had, just a great time and heard some really touching stories, from the men over the years.
I bet that's gotta be very nice and very rewarding too. Still having those airplanes up there flying.
Yeah. We really, you know, we're so grateful to GEICO to give us the opportunity to show these things off. I mean, you know, they're, they are truly, you know, truly special. You know, when you think they were built in 1940, and, you know, they're older, they're 50 plus years old, and still flying. It's just, to me anyway, it's just amazing. It's a testament to how smart the people were at the time to build equipment, you know, devices, you know, in this case, aircraft, that could endure for that long.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. They're just well built.
Well built. Still flying. Well, look, we're about out of time, but where are you going to be here? Where can people go to find out more about the GEICO Skytypers, kind of get a taste of what they're going to see come April 28th, 29th?
Well, thanks for asking. You know, they can go to our website, which is www.GEICO Skytypers.com. That's, you know, all one word. So GEICO Skytypers.com. They can also find us on Facebook. They can find us on Instagram. We have a YouTube channel where they can actually see some of the videos of last year's performance. We don't have anything posted yet because top secret. We're unveiling it. You know, the new routine. But there's some great videos on there too. Interviews with the guys, everybody from, you know, from the boss to me. There's some neat music videos on there that, you know, that people have produced for us. So it's definitely worth checking us out and liking us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the other social media stuff.
Very good. Steve, thanks for your time this morning. I look forward to meeting you in Myrtle Beach in a few weeks, and safe travels coming here.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, a lot of times you tell people, hey, look up from your phone. Watch where you're walking. Watch where you're driving. Look, in just a couple of weeks, April 28th, 29th, down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, you're going to have a ton of reasons to look up. Blue Angels, F-16 Viper demo, a lot of things going on. Air show, and I love air shows. You know, it's a little bit off the charts for Woods and Water, South Carolina, but I never pass up an opportunity when it comes to aviation. And we're lucky enough to have John Kalman with us. He is the president of JLC Airshow Management. John, thank you for taking a few minutes to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for inviting us to chat with you this morning.
Yes, sir. Well, look, y'all are bringing a great show to South Carolina, and we love it. Absolutely love it. Got a lot of things going on. So take just a minute, tell us about yourself and JLC Airshow Management, and then we'll get into the goodies coming up on the 28th, 29th.
Okay, good deal. Well, first of all, I'm a retired Air Force veteran. Was a flyer for the Air Force. I was actually a C-130 lugmaster, which I was one of the, you know, five crew members on the bird.
Sure.
Primarily what I did, weight and balance, and did a lot of the airdrop stuff.
Okay.
Which was what I claimed to fame there. Plus, I got to see the world a few times.
I had
a great career, retired, and then was always good at special projects, deployments, special events, air shows, all that in the military. So before I retired, I said, let's just keep the dream going. So we created our own I created my own company, and then I invited a few of my Air Force buddies to partner in a little bit with me. And so that was in 2012 when we did our first air show at Rome, Georgia.
Okay.
And we are 2018 adding another show to our portfolio of Wings Over Myrtle Beach.
That's great. Well, thank you for your service to our country. Always, never pass up a chance to thank a veteran. And gosh, you got a great show coming. Tell us, start off and just give us the basics. What's going on down there in Myrtle Beach, 28th, 29th?
Well, you know, we've got the Wings Over Myrtle Beach air show, and that's being presented by the Chamber of Commerce, visitmyrtlebeach.com. I always try to get a plug in for those guys.
Sure.
They've been good to us.
Okay.
And, of course, the Myrtle Beach International Airport is the ones that allowed all this to be put together. So we're very excited partnering with those folks in Myrtle Beach to bring the show to town. We are very, very, very fortunate to be able to host the United States Navy Blue Angels Jet Demonstration Team.
Yes, sir.
At this year's show. And along with them, we've got the U.S. Air Force F-16 Viper Demo Team. Just having those two alone is a full show. But we've beefed that up with the full aerobatic show to include Rob Holland. He's the current, I think, 7 times in a row world champion aerobatic pilot. He'll be there.
All right.
Along with previous world champion, Patty Wagstaff.
Yes.
He'll be there performing as well. And she's the only aerobatic performer that's got her airplane sits in the Smithsonian Institute. So we're pretty cool to have Patty back with us. And then we got Mike Wiskus with the Lucas Oil aerobatic team. So we're pretty fat on aerobatic performers, I'll
yes.
tell you. Then we got a lot of ground shows with the Smoking Thunder jet car.
Okay.
He'll be racing Wiskus each day, and he's also going to be racing the Geico Skytypers. We'll have them there, World War II era aerobatic team. So, I mean, we've got the full slate of aerial action at the show coming up.
2 days. Air shows start at what time each day?
We're going to open the gates at 8:30 each morning. The parking gates will open up at 7:30, but we'll open up the main gates at 8:30, and then the opening ceremonies will kick off around 11, and we hope to drop the flags at 11:30, and then it's game on all the way up till 3 o'clock when the Blue Angels take the mic and take the skies.
Very cool. Very cool. You know, man, the F-18s from the Blue Angels – the F-16, which is based right here at Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina. So we got a hometown, hometown crew going to be performing. I actually got, when they recertified the Viper demo team, and I think that was 2015, I got to go down and watch the inaugural performance. That was a really cool show.
Yes.
And you got T-6.
Rain, the pilot for that, he's from the Atlanta area here, and he's just a super great guy. We look forward to working with him at the show.
Yep. You get the Skytypers with T-6s. You mentioned Rob Holland, Patty Wagstaff. Those airplanes are very rarely in level flight, aren't they?
Very. I call them flip-flops. I mean, that's just kind of the way I call them, because that's all they do is flip-flop and do stuff planes aren't supposed to do.
That's right. Then you got a couple of other guys. I think both of them might be based here in South Carolina. Jim Tobel's F-4. I think he's over in Orangeburg somewhere.
And Scooter.
Yeah, and Scooter Yoke with the P-51.
Uh-huh.
I think he's based somewhere around down in Augusta, I believe.
He is now. But,
yeah.
They're all from right close by.
And that's a Corsair and a P-51. They call them the class of 45 because both airplanes were manufactured in 45.
That is correct. And those guys put on one heck of a show together and then individually before they come together to create honoring both of their dads.
Yep.
In that airplane, and we call it the class of 45. So yeah, that's pretty special. But one thing I really want to put a plug in for, we do a veterans parade of honor, roughly just before the Blue Angels will take the stage. We do a veterans parade of honor, which we invite every person who's ever served, whether that's 15 minutes or 50 years like me. we invite them to walk down and be saluted and recognized by the crowd. And that's a pretty big deal. There's usually not hardly a dry eye in the crowd when we do that.
I am sure you are correct there. I mean, and essentially, you wouldn't be having an air show if it weren't for all those guys who served.
That's correct. Yeah.
Now,
so
you got...
We try to give back, in all forms that we can to the community with these air shows.
Yes, sir. Now, you got premium camping. Is there still some open spots for the camping side of things?
Yeah, we've got... not quite a few, but we've got a few. It's starting to fill up now. Now that the spring has really finally sprung,
sure,
everybody's starting to look at doing things. And, of course, this is part of our footprint with our air show model. And, we're getting quite a few folks. But it's like being in the infield. If you were to go to the Daytona 500, you're in the infield of the Wings Over Myrtle Beach air show.
Very neat. And you've got a kids area. You're going to have lots of food around. But if you're interested in getting airborne, you can actually take a ride on a couple of airplanes and a couple of helicopters.
That is correct. We got the Hueys that'll be running rides throughout the whole show day. And then we've got, they also have a Cobra there. So if you want to sit in the front seat of a Cobra and ride around over the beach a little bit, you get to do that. And then we've got some nostalgic DC-3 rides also available for folks that want to just take a nice ride up and down the coast.
In a classic airplane. Man,
absolutely.
The lines on a DC-3, once you know them, you never forget them.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous bird.
It is. All right. So all this is happening the 28th, 29th. Where do people go to find out more information, how to get tickets, about parking? Maybe they want to camp for the weekend. Where do they go to find all of that information?
Yes, yeah, at the wingsovermyrtlebeach.com. And once you get there, the website's fairly easy to navigate. The tickets are available. We have plenty of general admission, but we only have just a handful of chalet tickets left for Sunday. Saturday premium seating is all sold out. We have a little bit left for Sunday, but there'll be plenty of general admission. We have gold parking where you can park right here at the airport, or the blue parking over at the former Fantasy Harbor attraction is where our public parking is going to be.
Very good. Well, I am a runway junkie since a little kid. My dad had a J3 Cub. I never pass up an opportunity to get around this stuff. I'm looking forward to being there, looking forward to meeting you and a bunch of your performers coming up on Media Day. Thank you for coming to South Carolina. Look forward to some good weather and a great air show.
Well, again, thanks for having us on your show today. We're very excited to be able to bring this world-class air show back to Myrtle Beach community.
Very good, John. Thank you for your time this morning, and safe travels coming to South Carolina.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
See you soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Continuing with our theme today of not being in the woods or out on the water, but in the air for the upcoming Wings Over Myrtle Beach Air Show, April 28th, 29th. Honored to have Erin Carl. She is the Public Affairs Officer for the USSOCOM Paracommandos jump team that will be jumping out of the hopefully crystal clear blue skies of Myrtle Beach here in a couple weeks. Erin, thank you for being on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Absolutely. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, you're very welcome. We were talking, you're down in Florida at Sun and Fun, so you're getting a little taste of air show early here.
Yeah. I actually have, so I'm a reservist, so I'm only part-time with the team. The last time I worked was in December, so I was going through withdrawals. I was missing my guys.
Yeah.
So, I get to be here at Sun and Fun, and then actually the next event that I work will be there in Myrtle Beach, so I'm really excited.
Can't wait for you. I tell people I'm a 50-year-old kid when it comes to aviation. So I'm all in it. Well, you're a reservist. You're the public affairs officer. You do pretty much everything that they need you to do, but you're not a jumper. What happened there?
It just never came together for me, I guess. No, I never had the opportunity until I joined the team.
All right.
I was out training with the team about a little over a year ago. We do most of our training at Zephyr Hills Municipal Airport. It's an area called Skydive City. It's a civilian facility. It's a lot easier for us to just kind of hop on there and do a lot of our training out there.
Okay.
And our coach, the team leader, Keith, very gruff, retired Green Beret. He talks just like, retired Green Beret.
Sure.
But he comes up out of nowhere. He's like, hey, you want to do a tandem? I was like, sure.
You don't say no.
And that's it. Then he walked away. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to jump out of an airplane today.
Well,
so I did. And it was wonderful. I loved every minute of it. I really have no desire to do it by myself. But I told the guys who want to keep their tandem calls up that if they need another tandem to keep their qualifications, I am there for them if they need me.
You know, my dad, who's 84, who had he owned a Ronca Champ and a J3 Cub, said anybody that jump out of a airplane while the engine's still running is an idiot. But you know, there are a lot of idiots out there. My cousin was one. He was special forces and all that. And I missed my window. My wife told me I had to do it before we got married. Well, we only dated 6 months before we got married, so she didn't give me a whole lot of time to do it. Missed that window, so you're one up on me, but it's really cool that you know, and he talks about high, you know, low altitude jumps and high altitude jumps, and it just,
yeah,
wow. I mean, what an adrenaline rush that's got to be. But your guys, they're from all branches of the military, special ops. So tell us who they are.
Sure. So all of the other parachute demo teams in the Department of Defense. You know, we've got the Golden Knights and the Black Daggers and the Leapfrogs. They're all single service, U.S. Army, U.S. Navy. We are the only joint military parachute demo team in the DoD. So we are based out of Special Operations Command, which is at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida. So here you mentioned I'm at Sun and Fun. So this is sort of a home base show for us.
It's
the Joint Combatant Command that oversees all the special ops around the world. So the way it works for our team is other than our team leader and our NCOIC, our non-commissioned officer in charge, our number two.
Okay.
They are the two full-timers with the team. That's Keith and Corey.
Okay.
Everybody else with the team, they're all active duty, but they're stationed at SOCOM in another capacity. Most of them in staff jobs.
Okay.
So they tend to be senior NCOs, senior officers who have, you know, seen a lot and done a lot.
Sure.
And, you know, like most organizations, they want to bring them into a staff position and glean all their expertise, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So they have to do a run at headquarters for a couple of years. And so they volunteer on the weekends or whatever to be a part of the paracommandos. So it's not a full-time gig for them. This is, so we have a stable of about 30 demo jumpers. And so at any event, you might have, you know, 4 or 6 or 8, depending on the event.
Okay.
So it's going to be a different grouping each time.
Wow.
But yeah, we have all services. We've got, and like you said, you know, we've got Green Berets, Rangers, Navy SEALs, Marine Raiders, the whole bit. You are truly seeing, you know, America's heroes. You know, the people that are normally doing things that people like me, the public affairs officers, can't talk about.
Sure.
This is one of the few times I can actually talk about what they do, which is one of the things that makes my job so fun, you know?
Yeah. My cousin says when I'm about 65, he can start telling me a few things he's done in his life.
Well, you know, so that's the thing, right? I mean, you know, one of the things that I always like to point out that people don't realize, simply because we normally can't talk about it in specifics, but, you know, if you had a big, you know, 12-month calendar and you throw a dart at it, on any given day where that dart lands, there are more than 70,000 soldiers, sailors, Marines, you know, and DoD civilians in more than 70 countries around the world every single day. Doing all kinds of stuff that, and you know, that's why they call us that, the quiet professionals have been named for people at SOCOM.
Right.
But we can't talk about it. So
right.
Being a part of the paracommandos, that's one of the reasons that the jump team exists and why we come out and perform at air shows, is just to give a face to all those people that normally, you know, don't have a face.
I bet that is an incredible experience to be around that group of guys and hear them talk.
Oh, it's, you know, it's the best stories ever, ever. And the best senses of humor, you know. They're my salty military brothers and sisters, and I love them dearly. Like I said, I go into withdrawals when I'm not with them for a while. So this is by far the coolest job. I have been in the military for 20 years.
Okay.
The coolest job I've had, yeah.
Unreal. And those jobs you talk about them doing, they're, you know, I know just a little bit because I know he sent me pictures from here and from there and all when he can. And they just, it's amazing. They just go, it's just like a normal work day for them. And they come home and they're just normal people again. And that mindset's just an incredible gift.
I think a lot of them have this kind of almost beautiful ability to compartmentalize.
Yes.
And like I said, you know, a lot of the guys on the team now are, you know, they're doing staff work now. And they're kind of doing higher level plans and that kind of stuff. And so they're working in the headquarters building. But we actually have some members of the team that are still operational. You know, they'll go away for a few months and then come back, you know, back to the base, and then they're demoing again, and then they're going to go for oil for a while, and then they'll come back, you know. And it's fascinating how they just seem to, you know, switch back and forth, and it's par for the course, you know.
Unreal.
Incredible to me.
When the team goes and I read on your website they do some different jumps and all, what kind of different jumps will they do at various events?
So we practice military free fall. Like you mentioned earlier, there's, you know, high altitude, high opening, high altitude, low opening, halo. There's static line jumps. There's all different kinds of ways that the military uses the art of the parachute, you know, for insertion.
Right.
Military free fall, the way we practice it, is usually high altitude, low opening.
Okay.
Excuse me. So if the skies are clear and if the winds are low, we will try to jump out somewhere between 10 and 15,000 feet, which will allow the guys to be in free fall for about a minute. And, you know, when they're in free fall, they're going about 120, 130 miles an hour.
I was fixing to say they're traveling really, really fast.
Yeah. So, they have smoke canisters attached to their ankles that they'll deploy, like little tiny pyros.
All right.
Pyrotechnics. So it makes it easy for the people on the ground. You know, they're 2 miles up.
Yeah.
Right. So, but it makes it really easy for the crowd on the ground to be able to keep track of where they are and what they're doing. They might, do a stack out where they're going to, you know, jump out one at a time, pretty close together, but then spread apart, you know.
All right.
They might do a formation grab, or they're forming a formation in the air and then spread apart.
Okay.
So they've got a few different things they can do. If there is cloud cover, so the rules are with the FAA, they can't jump through clouds.
Okay.
So let's say there's a 5,000 cloud deck, they're going to jump beneath that.
Okay.
So, then that's what we call a low show. So then they'll jump out at, you know, 4,000, which means that they're not going to have much time in free fall, but that still means that they'll just pop their parachute up and a little sooner after they jump, that they, you know, the crowd is still going to get to see all these awesome maneuvers that they can do, you know, under canopy. We usually use, we'll have flags attached to the flag line, some of the parachutes. So, you know, you're going to see the POW flag, you might see the state flag, you might see the American flag. One of my favorite things that we do, because so we'll jump twice a day.
Okay.
At Myrtle Beach. And the first jump is my favorite because we open the show.
All right.
And we have a 30 foot by 50 foot U.S. flag, 1,500 square foot U.S. flag.
That's big.
That jumper has it on a pouch sort of at his stomach. And when he jumps and reaches the correct altitude, he deploys that flag, and it's what we call a drop flag. It hangs beneath him.
Okay.
And with a big 30-pound weight. So it sort of like creates a virtual flagpole beneath the jumper. It is the coolest thing. And it's this huge flag that, you know, when the wind's hitting it, and normally the national anthem is either played or sung.
Sure.
It's just about as America as you can get. You know what I mean?
Make your hair stand up and goosebumps.
We see it,
yes.
I mean, we see it every single time. And I can't see it enough. You know, I get excited for it every time. It's just beautiful and very moving. So, you know, you'll see that as well. So we have a lot of different things we can do. We can flex depending on the weather and the wind.
Okay.
You know, we try to make sure that our crowds get a great show. And the guys, you know, they love every minute of it. They're showboaters, what can I say?
I can imagine. They're great. Well, look, if they want to find more information about USSOCOM, where can they go to read about your command, what all people are doing, the branch of the military, where can they go to get more information on
you? Sure. So I'll give three places for sort of three different angles on stuff.
Okay.
If people are on Facebook, you can search for SOCOM, S-O-C-O-M, Para Commandos, and that's with a hyphen. So Para hyphen Commandos. And that's our Facebook page, has a lot of photos. It focuses more on like what we do at the air shows. I posted some great pictures yesterday, for instance. Corey, our NCOIC, is great with kids. He was packing his parachute after the first jump, and this little 4-year-old boy was right there, and he had the little boy help him pack his parachute.
Oh, cool. There it is, right there.
Yep,
there's the picture right
there. Isn't
that cute?
That
is cool.
Oh, it's so cute.
That's cool.
So we'll post a lot of videos and stuff on our Facebook page and a lot of photos. So if you want to keep up with sort of our events, that's a great place to do it.
Okay.
We have a YouTube channel as well with a lot of videos. Corey is our video editor, too.
Right.
He really enjoys doing that. So a lot of videos and stuff on our YouTube channel with the same keyword. SOCOM.mil.
Okay.
So www.socom.mil. And then you can click on the Paracommandos from there. That's our official team page on the SOCOM site. And that has, you know, all the SOCOM history. And that has the full schedule and all that kind of stuff, too. Yeah.
Aaron, thank you very much for taking time. We salute you for your service, all your friends there at the SOCOM team and all. Never pass up a chance to honor our veterans and active duty people. So we appreciate you. Thank you for coming on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Look forward to seeing you in Myrtle Beach in just a couple short weeks.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it. And I hope you and all of your listeners come up and say, you know, say, hey, get a bracelet. We've got these really cool rubber bracelets and, you know, come and say hello, shake hands. And we'd love to give you some swag and see you face to face out at the air show for sure.
Great. Looking forward to it. Thank you. And safe travels to South Carolina. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. It's been a quick one. A lot of information. Hope you'll make plans to maybe go down to Myrtle Beach on the 28th, 29th. Take in an air show, take in a little bit of the beach. You know, hey, who knows? Is Wings still open downtown? I guess it is. I know the Magic Attic's not there anymore, but it is Myrtle Beach, and it's a place to go in South Carolina. I remember, man, way back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, when I was in high school and all, we'd go down and spend the weekend at the state park for spring break and watch the A-10s and F-4 Phantoms out of Myrtle Beach Air Force Base. So, long history here in South Carolina. Get out there. Make the time to go. Take the back roads to Myrtle Beach this week. Good plan. And don't forget the camera because there's going to be a lot of picture opportunities. See you back here next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hit me from behind. Yes, I'm gone to Carolina.